campus.
And online.
Online.
This
is
URN.
Hello and welcome to Touchdown Episode 3, the Witching Hour Special. A Jets fan and a Dolphins fan are on the call today. That's all you need to know. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. We're both in really good moods. And yeah, ta-da, that's it. Go well. Keep it URM.
No, that's a great podcast. Thank you very much.
Apparently, we've been told off by Archie, the head of sport, is telling us we've got to keep going. Jake, how are you, mate?
Oh, quite annoyed. I didn't really want to keep going. I think we've had a great week. Let's not ruin it.
Thank you. Thank you. Just short and sharp. Short and sharp today.
Exactly. We don't need anything much.
The Jets have just come off the back of a fantastic win. We say just off the back. It's been about 5 days. The Browns
counted just off the back.
30, Jets 31. Now, we have introduced a new feature the minute after, little segment, and this is going to be Jake Longhurst, little bit.
Now we're going from one last minute comeback to another with the New York Jets' epic victory over the Cleveland Browns away in Cleveland as well. And I mean, what a game. It was like the first half was a real slugfest. It was back and forth, ended up 14-14 at the end of the second quarter. So it was a tight game. And the third quarter, uneventful. It ended up 17-14 at the end of the third quarter to the Browns, which became 17-17 fairly early on in the fourth quarter for the Jets getting a field goal. And then all of a sudden, the Browns turned it on. The Browns turned up with two touchdowns and one fatal missed kick that led them to 30 points to 17. And then who knows what happened. Maybe something in the Jets' halftime oranges had finally kicked in. But they just turned up, exploited the Browns' defence to all hell and back, and managed to get two touchdowns in the final minute 55 of the game. First with Flacco sending one over to Corey Davis for a 66-yard touchdown, and then the final one being taken from an onside kick recovery, which was then sent through to Garrett Wilson by Flacco. And then the final play of the game almost was the Browns going for one final drive for even a field goal. They threw a pass that was intercepted by Ashlyn Davis, and what a way to finish the game. And that sealed a 31-30 victory for the New York Jets. What a game.
Jake, how is the mood now compared to that moment there? Just an unreal win.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, obviously, you know, slightly less excited right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't quite the minute after. That was a little later. My voice that evening was not perfect. So it's a little later than quite the minute after. But still, the adrenaline, the elation that night was beautiful. What a game. What a finish as well. It was so close to the wire, and that's what made it beautiful. It was a beautiful sports game. Just everything you love about a close match put into the final quarter of a game as well.
Well, it didn't look like you ever
it was unbelievable.
Gained control until the final seconds. The Browns were 14-0 going into the halftime. Then it was 17-14, and then it became 30-14. And with a minute...
It was 30-17.
Sorry. And it just didn't look like it was going to happen.
It should not have happened.
No. But if you actually look through the Jets playing stats, Joe Flacco, the quarterback, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, 26 completed passes against 44 attempts, 307-yard gain. That's always sort of the benchmark I look for. Is it 250-plus? Yes, he's had a good game. No interceptions or TDs. He spread the love a bit, going to Hall, Carter, Berrios. Even Flacco took a catch or two. Amazing punt work I've seen. The fake punt. Lovely. It just seemed like one of those perfect games for the Jets.
It's one of those games where everything went right. Like, the Jets don't get those often as well.
Yeah.
Flacco had a sensational game. As you said, his stats are great. Four TDs and obviously the special team. Like, round of applause to the special team for the Jets. They were brilliant. The offside kick return, oh, it was beautiful. And also the final play defensive interception, the 6 second interception. There were 6 seconds on the clock. And you know what? We'd seen enough that game that, yeah, the Browns probably could have bought it back if they'd have kept that going.
Mm.
But, oh, it was just beautifully done. Honestly, it was a 2-minute masterclass. That's how NFL should be played. Those 2 minutes are some of the best minutes I've ever seen.
And you, if you actually look at the Browns, they're not a bad team. Nick Chubb was just really good, 87 yards.
Nick Chubb's very good.
Three touchdowns of 5.1 average per reception. A Kareem Hunt as being the two-headed beast. It just, it's a really good side. And whatever happened to the Browns, it's just, you can't explain it to a non-sports fan. They just crumbled under the pressure.
Yeah, they fell apart. It was a final 2 minutes. We're clear. We're happy. We can sit back and relax. No, you can't. No, you can never relax. Even against the Jets or the Lions, a team can and will bring it back sometimes. Doesn't happen often, but it did happen the other day.
So many one-score games this week. Chiefs, Chargers. Chiefs looked really good. Patriots, Steelers. We'll talk about the Steelers' problems in a little bit, but there's Patriots coming on top by a field goal. Panthers, Giants. The Giants getting another win, being 2-0, possibly one of the worst 2-0 teams of all time. The Jets with their miraculous win. The Dolphins against...
Yeah, let's move on to Miami.
Let's have my post-match minute.
Hello and welcome to the minute after voice memo, whatever we're going to call this segment. Basically, myself and Jake Longhurst will give you a minute roundup of our games, the Dolphins and the Jets, the minute after the game has ended. I think it's going to be quite a happy podcast. The best comeback for the Miami Dolphins since 2005. Unreal. A really, really bad start to the game when Baltimore returned a kickoff. And you just think it's going to be one of those days. Dolphins won't get going. The defense looks sloppy. Lots of pointless flags, offside penalties, holding calls, face masks. It's very avoidable things. And to really come back late in that third and into the fourth quarter and to hold their nerve at the end, it was very spectacular. Hill and Waddle just look different gravy. Should be very good. And Tua having an absolute electric game. Over 400 yards. I don't think any interceptions that I can think of. Just played out of his skin. And yes, a little underthrown at times, but the clock management was interesting. Melvin Ingram's defence, what I thought was getting better. As we signed him from the Saints, you sort of expect him to be up close and getting sort of into them a bit better than he was. But he grew into the game. He was sort of embodied the Dolphins' defence, not allowing any more points but a field goal. It was a stressful game, and it just felt like the game was slipping away from us. But finally, the Dolphins show a bit of grit for the first time. And 2-0, best start to the season I can remember for a long time. And so it's now Jake's turn, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be buzzing about this.
Yeah, I think I was a little overexcited at that point. It's the fifth of the millennium of a 21-point comeback. That's how mad that is. And if you actually look
at from the Dolphins...
No, that's for the whole year. That's for everyone in the NFL.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's not just any team that's done it. It's the Dolphins that have done it.
Yes, which actually says a lot about where we are at as a franchise. So I'll give you the
stats. It does. It's promising.
So Tua, 469 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. One was a sort of... It went through the receiver's hands. I'm not blaming him for that. Tyreek Hill, 11 receptions, 190 yards. 2 touchdowns.
Brilliant.
Jalen Waddle, 11 receptions, 171 yards, 15.5 average yards, 2 touchdowns. Mike Gesicki, 1 touchdown, 41 yards, 4 receptions. Just unreal. And if you actually look at how good the Ravens were, Lamar Jackson has had over 400 yards in throwing and rushing, 119 yards rushing, and 318 in the air. With 4 touchdown involvements. He was their real base for them. Rashad Bateman broke the speed limit from where I live. He went at 21 miles an hour. And on my road, you're only allowed 20. So I want speed guns on him. But it was just unreal. The Ravens got into a really good head of steam early on, opening kickoff. They score a touchdown.
They had momentum from the off. They just had momentum over the Dolphins, unquestionably. They should have probably won that match by another touchdown compared to the difference, let alone let you come back.
Yeah, I think our win percentage at one point was 3%. It's just unreal. And hopefully, we won't go on about it too much, but it's one of the best games I've ever seen live. And Erin was watching her first NFL game, And she just thought, is this like it every week? No.
Mate, that's one of those perfect moments.
Yeah. Another one was the Cardinals and Raiders. A really good game where the Cardinals won in overtime. The Raiders sit at 0-2, the Cardinals 1-1. Very interesting game because obviously being two games into the season, if you look, both teams lost their first game, it's really hard to get back from 0-2. Only 6% of playoff teams ever have been 0-2. Did the Raiders stand much of a chance, Jake, making the playoffs?
I mean, let's be honest. If we were going just based on kit, yes.
Yeah, but we're not. But
unfortunately, and I like the Raiders. I do have a soft spot for the Raiders. I don't think so. With a start like this, I don't think they'll make it. They're going to need to really turn themselves around sharpish if they want to get there.
Yeah.
They're not playing the way they should.
I totally agree. But as April would always say, wait till Thanksgiving. Derek Carr not being able to really attack a really poor secondary for the Cardinals suggests maybe the Raiders aren't what they used to be. Speaking of teams
maybe not.
Who weren't what they used to be, the Seahawks got demolished by the San Francisco 49ers. But there was a big problem for the big red and gold. Trey Lance, after three pass attempts, has had a serious injury and will be out for the rest of the season. Trey Lance was going to be the next big thing for the San Francisco 49ers. He was going to be their new quarterback, a whole new generation. All that goes like that. That's the magic of the NFL, and it's the nightmare of the NFL. Because everything.
Joe Burrows.
Yeah, exactly. It can all just come and go. But Jimmy Garoppolo, who's led them to a Super Bowl, is back in the starting lineup. He's had so much controversy. But with a back player, I'm just going through this reception. They've got Deebo Samuel. They've got... where is he? Oh, is he injured as well? Ooh. I'm going to take that back.
Samuel's injured.
Yeah. Deebo Samuel's fine, but I can't find Kettle. But I think he was injured.
Oh.
The Niners...
That is interesting.
If they don't have Trey Lance, can Jimmy get them to a good position, maybe into a sort of wild card position, do you think?
I'd say he... Of all the teams that are up for that position, I'd say they've got as good a shot as any.
Hmm.
You know, they're not going to make playoffs guaranteed with that, I would suggest. I don't think that team will make playoffs. You know, I'd say that with confidence. But getting in for a wild card, I'd say they've got as good a shot as anyone. Jimmy, he's a dependable quarterback. He's got them far, but he's got them far before. So, you know, he's got the knowledge and the ability to do it again if need be.
Yeah. To a team that is going to make the playoffs without any shadow of a doubt. It's the Buffalo Bills who absolutely trounced the Tennessee Titans 41-7.
It was a rout.
Go for it.
It was an absolute rout. Honestly, like I said it in the first episode, and I said after the first week, the Bills are looking good, and they shone this week. They are the team to beat right now. They are absolutely trouncing it. And I mean, okay, it's against the Titans. So, you know, bated breath and all. The Titans are still a good side.
Hmm.
They're like they're a solid mid-table side equivalent.
Hmm.
And to take 44-7, anyone winning 44-7 looks good. And the Bills just look on top of the world right now.
For maybe those who don't follow the NFL, to put this into a sort of context, this is like City beating Chelsea 6-1, essentially. This is a real mark of... Or maybe someone a bit better, but it's a real mark of where the Buffalo Bills are at. And it's sort of a demonstration of how far the Titans have fallen. 20 pass attempts for Ryan Tannehill, 11 completed, 117 yards, two interceptions. I've been very anti-Tannehill since 2016, since he sort of peaked for the Dolphins, then got injured. I don't think he's been the same since. Derrick Henry, for me, he's so crucial, because if Derrick Henry's got that full head of steam, he can push the defensive line in, which means they can throw over the top. Tannehill does not have that raw ability like Josh Allen can of throwing over the top and in the middle and short. Tannehill can't do that. He just doesn't have the accuracy, doesn't have the power. And when he does have power, he doesn't have the accuracy, even worse.
He's one of those where, compared to someone like Joe Burrows on his day, he's a bullet and he doesn't need time. He can just whip it in a half a second. He's ready.
Yeah.
But Tannehill, he's just, if he sets himself and gives himself time, He's got the accuracy and the power, but he can never have both in a short period of time. He's got to take a second to compose himself for a throw, and it's just not going to work for him. Like, long term, he will never work out. Realistically, he's been out of it for probably 3 seasons. He's probably needed to be replaced, if not more.
Yeah, I think he's done well with the tools he had because he had those tools, because he had that ability to set himself. So he was able to outshine himself, if that makes sense. And Derrick Henry did the hard work. And when Derrick Henry...
He looked good because of the players around him almost.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, he was able to sit and relax and then get into his game because of the defensive line or offensive line defending him that he had, because they gave him that time to compose himself, assure his ability, then go for the pass.
Totally agree. We won't wax lyrical about the Buffalo Bills because we're going to have to do that for the whole playoffs. And we're about to play the Dolphins this week. Now, Jake, in your NFL last week, you said for sure win was going to be the Miami Dolphins. And you were right. That's the first for sure win we've had all year. That's a quarter of our for sure wins. Let's get on with our NFL this week. So what should new fans look out for this week in the NFL? I'll give you some games: the Jets and Bengals, Titans, Raiders, Panthers, Saints, Patriots, Ravens, Vikings, Lions, Commanders, Eagles, Colts, Chiefs, Bears, Texans, Chargers, Jags, Cardinals, Rams, Buccaneers, Packers, Seahawks, Falcons, Broncos, 49ers, and New York Giants versus the Cowboys.
That was a long one. Very impressive.
Thank you.
Honestly, it's almost like seeing Eminem at his prime.
No one's ever described this as their prime, so.
You know what I think to look out for? Let's look out for the referee.
Yes, here we
That's
go.
That's what I think. New fans this week, look out for the referee. I want you to see if the ref, like, look at the referee, look what he's doing and listen to his calls. And just, like, take notice and keep it in your mind and see if you can learn more about the game from that. That's my new fan of the week.
That is a really good shout, because the wonderful thing about the NFL is that they literally say what the foul is. So in football, you often go, what's he done that for? And if you're watching at home with rugby and home at cricket, you'll go, oh, it's pitching outside leg, or he's
and they'll replay it. They'll put it at the top.
Yeah. It makes
sense. NFL, the ref will explain it for you, and they'll put the replay. It's brilliant. It's so easy. If you watch the ref and take notice of, if you can watch the ref when they're playing and try and see what the ref's looking for, you can see so much about the game and learn way more really quickly just by listening to the ref, looking at those replays, and go from there.
Mine is going to be left guardsmen this week, the men who keep the quarterback alive. For a left-handed quarterback, it'll be the right guardsman. But basically, they're the guys protecting the back of the quarterback. So please watch what they do, because they are worth millions in gold and they keep this beautiful game exciting. So that is our new fans should look out for. What's your for sure win this week, Jake?
I mean, I'm not going to go with the Bills again, because that would be a crime. I mean, even though, you know, that might be a fair one. I'm going to go with the Vikings over the Lions. I think that's realistically, I'd say that's probably fair.
Yeah, I totally agree. But my for sure win is going to be the Chiefs over the Colts. The Colts look rancid, getting blown out by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Just embarrassing. And the Colts
and the Chiefs are looking good.
Yeah. I just think it's good versus bad. Matty Ryan isn't going to stand a chance. That's my views on the matter. L, what's your legend of the week? Mine is going to be... Ooh, come back to me on that one. Who's going to be your legend of the week?
My legend of the week, I'm going to go with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's my legend of the week.
Yeah. What, and they're playing the Bengals. Is that a winnable game for you?
That, I think it should be, actually. They've, since coming out of that loss in the Super Bowl, they've not looked the same.
No, seriously.
They look deflated. They look really deflated, unsure of themselves, unconfident. I think that is a winnable game, especially coming off of the high of beating the Browns. I'd say, you know what, the Jets could do it. So look out for Joe Flacco. He's my legend of the week.
I am going to say I'm going to say Jalen Ramsey for the LA Rams against the Cardinals, just because.
Good choice.
I just think Kyler Murray, because he's so short, he's just going to be pinging balls over Aaron Donald, and Jalen Ramsey's going to get two or three interceptions. That pretty much wraps up. That is all we really have time for, but it is a Friday we record this on. Now, it is the 20th anniversary of Ocean, the most wonderful nightclub in all the world, opening. So, I'm going to ask Jake a very simple NFL question. Your today will be going in the bad shirts night tradition, very traditional. We love to see it. One of my favourite traditions. What NFL jersey would you wear to a bad shirts night?
That is a wonderful question. I have one in mind vaguely, but let me see if I can specify. So, Dom, in the meantime, what's yours?
I'd say the Atlanta Falcons remakes have been awful. They've been absolutely awful. But I sort of like when they go for their retro, I think they're very fashionable. The Miami Dolphins color rush from a few years ago was pretty bad. I'm looking up and down. And you know what? I've always hated the Ravens. We always hate the Ravens. And I think their home kit, that bright purple with dark black, it just doesn't look right. So I'm going to say the bright purple Ravens jersey is the bad shirt of the week. And after that performance, they deserve exactly what it's going to be. Jake, any luck?
My bad shirt. So I was going to choose a Lions shirt. I've got a massive soft spot for the Lions, but they're crap.
They are. So yeah.
I'm gonna choose one of them more because they're a bad team than their shirts are bad.
Yeah.
But also the Lions black shirts. I'm usually a really big fan of a black jersey, but I don't know what it was about them, but they just, no, it wasn't right. It was, I think it's their shade of blue. Just doesn't work with it at all.
Yeah.
So that's mine.
Yeah. That pretty much wraps up the fashion weekly element of URN Touchdown. It's been an absolute delight. We'll have a longer episode for you this week. We're just a bit done for time. Jake's busy running the mic. I've got Over the Trent going. Oh, God, we've got some rubbish to talk about on Over the Trent.
Busy, busy weeks for us both.
Yeah, busy, busy weeks. So thank you for listening. Jake, do you want to do the outro?
You know what, Dom? Yes, I do. Thank you all very much for listening. Really appreciate it. Tune in same time next week for season 3, episode 4 of URN Touchdown. But in the meantime, keep it locked, keep it URN. And Dom,
go well. Cheers.